877-TAP-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. Or always through our website at coinsplus.com. And I hope if you're out there driving, be safe. It is crazy, crazy, crazy. I think, folks, it's really interesting talking to people. I think if you listen to the show, you probably figure it out. I tend to like to talk to people a lot. And one common thread I've been hearing a lot lately is that people are like, I'm sick of this winter. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. And, you know, I was talking to a guy today. I mean, I'm hearing this all the time, and I agree. The winter's tough, and this country's in tough shape. It's just tough, folks. It's like, and I was talking to this guy today, and I said, you know, I think that all the political stuff is just wearing everybody out. I think it's just a real dark time. And ironically, there's all kinds of Hebrew biblical numerology and years that end when you add the years up that come to a multiple of 10 or zero, basically 10 with zero at the end. So if you add up 2017, 2-1 and 7 is 10. And years that end like that historically have been really, really tough years. And they're precursors to real financial damage, to real financial disaster. You know, we, of course, saw 08. We go back, I think, I don't remember, I've seen it all done. It's, I don't know if it's 91 or what. But it's basically, you know, you'll see, you can go back in time and do it. And there's a lot of interesting numerology, biblical numerology and prophecy and all kinds of stuff. But basically, I don't, you know, for whatever it's worth, this is a tough year. We've got Trump getting pounded now. I mean, we are seeing a side of the socialistic left that is honestly, I never expected to see this. I just, you know, I think we all watched the election. We thought, you know, this guy, once at least once he wins, this will be over. And granted, I'm sure that if you're watching Trump close, there's quite a few times that you were like, man, you know, think about what you're saying. You know, there's so much biblical scripture that you know, encourages us to speak wisely and kindly and professionally. And you've got a man who's a real estate magnate. He's made it all the way on his own, the hard way, we'll call it. And he just doesn't know how necessarily to be terribly diplomatic. He did say when he became president that he would become more diplomatic, more presidential. And he has, I think. But the media, as I was talking to a friend of mine and I were talking today, was the media watches him 24/7, 7 days a week, and waits for these minute moments of a statement that he can take out of context. And this is all we get. I mean, this is all we hear is one, you know, if you think about it, if even if you think, you know, the one common thread that I'm starting to hear from fellow believers, fellow Christians, fellow conservatives is, I'm glad Trump's in there, but I just wish, you know, he'd watch what he'd say a little bit or be a little more diplomatic or whatever it may be. I agree, but like I was saying, if someone followed you around week by week, moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day, and proceeded to nitpick every little detail and just wait for that moment when you made that one mistake and then publish that mistake all around the world. That's all they talk about you, to spin what you've done and, you know, all this. This, you know, so he is a victim of this. I will say there's a couple issues going on here. One is that he was relatively divisive during the campaign. He crushed people in a kind of an ungodly way. And he also set the lead for the left. The left's attitude is, oh, well, Donald Trump won by being harsh and, you know, rash and, you know, rude and whatever. So they're like, well, now we're going to do that. Well, they are becoming, folks, we are facing unique times in every way. This is not politics as usual. If anybody says to you, and I hear this, they're like, oh, it's always like this. No, folks, it ain't. I was in the Young Republicans in the 80s. I have been plugged into this stuff for 30 years. There has never been a time like this. Our country is under the greatest amount of pressure. Had Hillary Clinton won, we would be literally on a sinking ship. But the media is so deceptive and dishonest. And I'll be honest, I don't get it. I can't see it because, you know, conservatism isn't a political view. It is truth. That's all, you know, people say, oh, you're a conservative. What's your political party? Mine is truth. I want truth. It's the truth. Now, do people see things differently? Yeah. Are they conditioned to see it that way? Sure. But in so many cases, when we're looking at the truth, we're looking at the truth. The truth is the truth. You can't hide that. You can't change that. And that's what conservatism is. That's what Trump is, and that's what Trump does. That's what he represents. And so when the left's going wild, it's deception. And when they see the truth prevail, and I've watched this in, you know, over the years, they see the truth prevail and they don't understand its truth. They like to spin and they like to deceive and they like to destroy and they like to, you know, undercut people. They like to use the Saul Alinsky methods that I've discussed. They have attacked, you know, tactics that are like ridicule is man's most potent weapon. Ridicule, you know, when you think of the biblical perspective of how we are to live our lives, and then he's telling us to, you know, to ridicule and you know, just kind of like torture people, basically drag them through the ringer. And this is what we've got going on. They lost handily, and they don't say, hey, people are sick of the same old, same old. They think, you know, the government, they want to reinvent the government as your meet all needs service. You know, it's they want to be this, the ultimate green corporation. They want everybody to turn to them for everything all the time. And that is not what government is for. That's not what our founding fathers said. Our founding fathers asked clearly that they wanted a small government. They demanded it. You know, they warned us against big government. They wanted, you know, I think you understand what I'm saying. But they warned against big government. And so we have gotten so big. And I think Trump is sort of, people call him a fascist. I wouldn't call him that. But the thing is, he's pragmatic. He basically looks at what we have and he says, I can run that better. And I think that that's where we're at, where he is a professional businessman. He's trying to put the best staff in we've ever seen, folks. We've never seen a situation where somebody's doing such a good job. And, you know, we've got to... I was reading here John Hancock that said, who's signing the Declaration of Independence... John, it's a, just kind of a joke. You know, you've heard the term John Hancock. He had the biggest signature on the Declaration of Independence, and a joke is that he signed and said, there, I guess King George will be able to read that. So we've got George Washington, the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. These Thomas Jefferson, my God, how little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of and which no other people on earth enjoy. He said the strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government. That's Thomas Jefferson. And this is where, folks, we're at a crossroads. I've said that. I've heard people tell me this lately, and I apologize if, you know, you've heard me say that a few times, but it's where we're at. We've got this. We're at a spiritual crossroads, and it's ironic that what it took to bring this out of us in the worst ways was an Islamic attack on 9/11. You know, and from there, we progressed forward. We had Bush, who was kind of the war president, and, you know, and the left started to scream, and they started to go crazy, and we cannot have unity. And that's one thing I think I was going to say earlier is, one of the biggest destroying events of this country is people are like, can't we get along? Why can't you guys get along? Because they don't. I believe that it's because the left won't follow the right. The left believes it's because the right won't listen to the left. And, you know, you've got two opposing views. You've got the right, which believes they're right, of course. And they want to, you know, they want to run the government like a business. They want to clean it up. Tighten it up. They want to get the economy moving again. The Republicans believe that small government with less interference will give this America a chance to do a wonderful, you know, to run in a good way. The liberals have this concept that the government creates jobs, folks. It's sheer stupidity. And then what they do is they use Saul Alinsky's stuff. They vilify and they criminalize and they demonize and, you know, and then they come out and they go on and they keep the pressure on and they keep threatening and terrifying people. They're terrorists in and of themselves, political terrorists. And their thinking, liberal thinking, is that it's bad or racist, xenophobic, to want to protect our borders. This stuff that's going on with Trump right now, I don't know how closely you're watching this, but he's tried to put out a temporary ban from 7 countries whose state is down, okay, without a head of state. People want to make it about racism. This is the problem with these cocoon frozen Americans. I mean, if you think about the countries, the 7 countries that are mentioned in Trump's ban, these countries have literally no heads of state. There's Somalia, you know, there's these countries are just in mayhem and shambles in a lot of ways. They're having a lot of trouble controlling people. You can buy people off in these countries. You know, you can bribe your way. You've got, I mean, think about it. We've got Iraq. Sadly, we're supposed to be in control of Iraq, but it's out of control. We've got Iran. These are the 7 countries, folks, that we are trying to put a temporary ban on, where we're afraid that they have terroristic ties. Now, think about this. Iraq, this is where we've been fighting and fighting and fighting, am I correct? And we're struggling with it. We're there. The people that don't like us, that are prepared to attack us, are ready to go every day. Syria, we know what's going on in Syria. Syria is the hotbed for ISIS. This is where ISIS is born. This is where ISIS hides. How about Iran? Do we need to even discuss Iran? Obama has given them tremendous bribes, tremendously huge bribes, because he is a Muslim. Iran is our greatest threat on earth, I believe. Next is Libya. We've got, you know, we went in there, we took Gaddafi out. The place is in shambles and mayhem. Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. You know much about these places? Somalia is the black market for arms, hotbed of the world. What do you want? You know, surface-to-air missiles, whatever, you name it. But if you go there to buy, you better have bodyguards and armored piercing or armored plated everything. I mean, it is rough. These are not, this is nothing about a Muslim ban. But this is the new method of spin. It's this ideological, idealistic perspective on things that's not accurate. I remember watching this stuff in college. It's not real. It's not black and white. It's not pragmatic. It's all an emotional appeal to propagate a narrative of the left. Let's all fall in love. Let's all love one another. Literally, at one point, Obama said if we could get these people jobs, they'd be better off. Because his belief is the black youth of America is off the rails because they don't have jobs. So he thinks, well, we can apply the same methodology to these other countries. But he knows better because he was raised a Muslim. He knows how they think and feel, and he empathizes with them so bad that he doesn't see a problem. But this battle, you know, coming out, they have to make it racist. And then we've got folks, we've got appeals court judges that are off their rockers. The president's responsibility is, you know, the constitutional responsibilities of the president are very cut and dry, black and white. He has to have specific authority that cannot be tested or taken away. They can't have these small courts throwing injunctions against the president when he's trying to protect our borders because of safety for a number of reasons. Number one, is there a possibility that he's exposed to national security briefings, to confidential information that you and I won't get? Of course it is. Number two, who are we? What is wrong with trying to protect and secure our borders? Why? Because Rudy Giuliani makes me mad because he said, him and Trump talked, and he said to Trump, instead of making it about religion, we decided to make it about danger. What an idiot. Why would a lifelong veteran attorney talk like this? So, first of all, he shouldn't have said that. What he meant was, we want to make sure it's not about religion. So we've made sure it was about danger. That's what he was trying to say. But secondly is, somebody's opinion or someone's conversation in private should have no bearing on the acts of legislation. If a bill is made by a racist, it does not make it less of a legitimate law. What matters is the actual efficacy of the law, the actual action that the law performs, not even intent. Intent matters to a degree because later on the attorneys or, judges are going to have to go back on court cases and look and try to distinguish the intent of the writers of the legislation. However, the legislation itself, if it's written clearly, should exonerate that necessity. It shouldn't be a possibility. It shouldn't matter. These judges are trying to look at the intent of the people and their conversations before and during and even after the execution of this temporary stay. Folks, we are being deceived. It is not racism. The youth of this nation are up in arms. They're not taking responsibility. It's no longer cool to be smart. Now the nerd, it used to be that there'd be nerds that they weren't just smart. They were like Bill Gates, That's not the case anymore. Now the nerd can just sit and poke on a computer. But it used to be that the nerd was smart. And people admired that. Intelligence is something that we need to admire. Wisdom is something we need to admire. And the left is telling people, no, You need to name call and do everything you can to destroy people that disagree with you rather than listen to them. And they do everything in their power to shut down clear, healthy dialogue. They really do. I've been watching this for too long. There is no healthy dialogue here. The youngest generation has abused the word racism to a level, and xenophobia. I didn't even know what that was till the election. It means you're afraid of people from other countries of origin. Well, they add that in there because people are protected based on their country of origin. They cannot be discriminated upon because of it. Well, in this case, the country of origin is relevant, and the president maintains that ability to override those types of concerns. So the liberal thinking, if it is thinking, and call me political, I listen to this stuff and it drives me nuts. It's so deceptive. They're so obstructionist. Never in the history of the United States has there been a level of obstruction like this. They deceptively called the Republicans the party of no for years because they intentionally rammed things at the Republicans that the Republicans could not approve for a number of reasons, not just political beliefs. Some of them were so poorly written and so economically destructive to the United States. They were like, I cannot put my finger on this. I cannot put my thumbs up to it. You know, I cannot give it approval. And then the left comes out and says they're the party of no. Well, they're the party of common sense, is what I think they're trying to be. And you know, and here we lie. Now we've got to wait around for the verdict of the appeals court. We see judges making decisions that are completely wrong, off center, based on all the wrong reasons. The question boils down simply, does Donald Trump have the authority to create this law? The answer is yes. The fact that the smallest courts in the nation can put an injunction against the president, this is wrong. If we were in a wartime situation, a high-pressure wartime situation, would they be doing this? Either no or we wouldn't know. We wouldn't hear. The media propagates this stuff, folks. You can get a half a dozen transvestites together for a little mini protest, and pretty soon the media is giving them full coverage, and pretty soon you got more people showing up and you have a movement, and 85% of the people there has been shown over and over. They don't even know why they're there. They have no clue. So we need to realize, don't tell yourself this is politics as usual. These are unique times. You need to be prepared. The good news is the majority of, you know, the tough people, military, are on the right side of the fence. I don't know what's coming, folks. I could see a civil war. What happens if the court ties 4-4 because they will not nominate or they will not appoint that Judge Gorsuch onto the Supreme Court until after this has gone through? I mean, you talk about dirty pool, dirty politics. This stuff's bad. It's bad news, folks. It's bad news. Trump had some ideas. He wanted to do some infrastructure stuff. The left said, yeah, we're kind of cool with that. But then they began criticizing it. And I know that I'm kind of dwelling on this stuff, but I'm telling you, folks, this, you know, this is the real deal. So where do we go from here? By the way, I had a couple comments come back at me for a show I did on Monday. I said something about Mormons. I said nothing against Mormons. I had people sending me stuff saying, you know, about the Mormon church as a cult and all this stuff. And, you know, that my point was that I don't agree with their total teaching. I mean, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe the book of the Bible says not to add or take away from it, or you're going to have issues. I believe in the body of Christ as set down by Peter. I know that people, you know, I don't want to get into it too much, but I just want to say, trust me, I know. I know where, you know, what's right and I know what's wrong, but if people are listening to the show, that's great. And I do believe, and I think you can look at Glenn Beck as an example, there's no doubt there are born-again believer Mormons. There's no doubt. And some of those people might be culturally inset into that, and they might, you know, be okay. I mean, they might just know Christ and just have the backdrop of Mormonism. I know they go on missions and everything else, which is, interestingly enough, something we should probably do ourselves as believers, you know, with kids to get them on the right track. They put kids into the classes young so they can defend their faith. They know where they stand. You know, they know what they are and what direction they're going in life. So, where do we go from here? Folks, the metals are lighting up. They're coming alive. The lights are coming on. We're heading for some interesting times. I mean, we are. I've said that. I think you would agree. These are very challenging times, for sure. And as a result, we need to be prepared ourselves to endure this. And the area of expertise that I deal in is the financial arena. And you have to understand with what we do and the thought process and the logic that we use is completely contrary to what you may be used to out there. When you go to your broker, if you have the normal broker and you start talking, you're going to get into the conversation of speculation. The conversation of speculation goes like this. You know, you basically, they've all got their theories. All these brokers have their theories. But they will tell you over and over and over, well, you never know. I can't guarantee anything. But it is what it is. And they're right. They can't guarantee anything. But what they want is another shot at your money. They churn it and they burn it. They speculate with your money. Precious metals are not about getting rich quick. No investment should be. It should be about preserving and protecting your wealth against any and all financial threats or uncertainty. That's what that's what precious metals-based assets do. They give you a level of confidence and security that's unsurpassed, unmatched, unbridled. And folks, I will tell you, do not buy an annuity. I won't waste the show on it, but I will tell you, do not buy an annuity. There's so many things wrong with an annuity. When you give your money to them, it's gone. It's not your money anymore. Sure, they'll say, oh, that's not true. Look at this piece of paper to prove it. Tell them you want to cash out. Try to cash out of your annuity and watch all hell break loose. Dig out your paperwork. Read your surrender charges and back end fees. I had a gal a few weeks ago. Well, I'm looking at the paper. She says, it's not as bad as you say. I go, what's it say? She says, well, it says that they only take whatever 6 or 7% when we sell it, you know, right now or something. And I said, well, that's, first of all, that's not great. Since we make a couple on gold. And I said, secondly, bring it in and let me see it. Well, they get 6 or 7% of what's left after a 20% surrender charge. So she had $180,000 she invested. They're going to take $36,000 off the top. And that brings her down to $144,000. And then they take another 6 or 7% off of that. So her $180,000 when she cashes it out, it's $130,000. She said, this is a very conservative investment. My broker, the Altmaier or whatever, gave me this. And he told me it was very conservative and very safe. He made a pile on that. And that is where I just get so objectionable. When an investment advisor is making these big fat commissions on an investment vehicle that he's selling you that's terrible for you, the motivation for them is the super high commissions. Once you enter an annuity, you are gone. It's tough. Getting it out's tough. Just give it a shot. You can listen to all the rhetoric, but just try to get it out. We can help you. We do it regularly. But folks, they're not good. And there's all kinds of tax consequences down the road with them. And there's just a lot of things that I wouldn't get into with an annuity. Precious metals-based assets, folks, have been around since the beginning of history. I remember a while ago, they dug up some gold coins that were stashed from the San Francisco Mint in the 1800s. So guess what? The person who found it is rich. When I was in Israel, in one of the Decapolises, they'd worked on it archaeologically for decades. And then one day, they found a satchel full of gold coins. And guess what? That was it. They finally got the money to begin to ramp up the efforts of archaeology just from a little bag of gold coins that a guy had in his hand as he was smashed by a massive colonnade coming out of the bank area of the Decapolis. I have seen time and again throughout history where countries are broke. And they will go to war, they'll go to a castle, and they'll fight and fight and fight. They do recon, and once they get in and they get the gold, guess what? He who has the gold makes the rules. Some people say, yeah, well, you know, you got the golden rule. The golden rule says, do unto others as you'd like them to do unto you, basically. When I was in banking, the golden rule was, he who has the gold makes the rules. The person, and the reason we say that, it sounds kind of heathenistic, but part of the reason we say that is when people want to borrow money, until they've been funded, you are able to get them to, you know, do what they need to do to get their ducks in a row, file other paperwork or whatever. But once they have the money, the gold, as we'd call it, that's when the control has been lost. But precious metals-based assets, they last. You go back in history, archaeological digs. What do they want? Gold and silver. They, you know, the livestock and real estate. Real estate's a good one. But the human life, not going to last. It's perishable. You want imperishable, unperishable investments. Folks, any kind of stock option or anything you have in your 401k is technically perishable. It's perishable. It means it dies. It breaks down. It goes away. It's got a mind of its own. The investment portfolios that we sell don't do that. They sit and they wait. They sit, wait, preserve, protect, and grow. This is what we offer. And this is what I would highly recommend you. We have got our world's economic system in a level of turmoil now that literally is unique to any time in history. We've got Iran and Russia, and literally from straight out of the book of the books of the Bible, and involved in end times prophetical behavior. You know, Obama's actions on his way out with Iran were unheard of, trying to give him $290 more million dollars or whatever it was. He paid unbelievable ransoms to Iran, and now Iran's threatening to rain missiles on their enemies' heads. So I would not be surprised if we did not have an escalation in this world. And the problem with American leadership is, who do we get in there? Do you get some sweetheart guy that's a glad hander and makes everybody love him while we're taking a dagger in the back? Or do we get a man who's strong and tough? Well, the people have spoken. The argument is he didn't get the popular vote. Well, the problem with that is a governor came forward, prior governor from California, and who had had cleaners and stuff, and he admitted that these people have fake IDs, fake Social Security numbers, everything's fake about them. So Pence mentioned yesterday that he was going to begin looking into that. Whether he will or he won't, I don't know, but I hope he does. Because Trump said 2 to 3 million people vote illegally every year, and the media is like, who, how, when, where, you know, why, prove it. Even though I think 90% of them know the truth. The proof isn't, you know, there's the people that sneak into the polling booths and get a number who don't have a Social Security number. The real fraud takes place with the people that come to this country and get a fake Social Security number and begin an identity. They're illegal immigrants, and they have an identity. They begin to, you know, gain trust of society after a while. After they've been there a while, then all of a sudden the credit card company will deal with them and everybody else. So we've got 2 to 3 million of those people here, easy. So hopefully Pence looks into that. And hopefully, I have a feeling there's a lot. I was told by a director of cabbies in Vegas that those guys, you know, they vote like crazy and they're illegals and they have fake ID and everything else. It is important to save. It's absolutely mandatory to save your money. If you, you know, there's the Dave Ramseys of the world that says, pay off your debt, pay off your debt. Okay, we've got to look at some different things. One is the consumer price index. The consumer price index is what's supposed to tell us what inflation is. It's an artificial index. The stocks are, they've excluded food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs from the consumer price index. These are the items that you live on. 85% of your disposable income, hypothetically, if you're the average American, goes to these excluded items. So real inflation, they tell us it's 1.25 or whatever. Real inflation, 6 or 7. A lot of your debts are below that. So when you prepay your debts, you're technically losing time value below the real rate of inflation. The other thing to keep in mind is if you save alongside the debt and add an asset, your net worth remains equal to as if you would have put the money down. So what I mean is this. Say you have a home and you owe $100,000 on it and you want to pay, and say the home's worth $150,000, you owe $100,000. Your net worth is $50,000. The value of the home minus the $100,000 you owe. So let's say over the next 2 years, you have $20,000 go through your hands and you want to reduce debt. So option one is you apply the $20,000 to your mortgage. Your mortgage goes down from $100,000 to $80,000. Now you owe $80,000 on a house that's $150,000. Your net worth is $70,000. Your option two is you have the $100,000 mortgage against a $150,000 house, but you save that $20,000 off to the side. You could get a little bit of interest. You could buy silver and gold and see growth. You know, that $20,000 could be $40,000 in a couple years, but we'll assume not for now. You add a $20,000 savings account next to a $150,000 house. That's $170,000. You owe $100,000 on the house. Your net worth is $70,000, the same as if you put the money on the loan. The difference is when you put money down on a fixed term loan, you cannot get it back out. It's gone forever. So if you have an emergency, what do? If you're broke, if you're putting every extra penny you earn to pay down your house and or car or whatever, a fixed rate loan, fixed rate, fixed term, and you have a medical problem or an emergency, what do? Back to the credit card, right? Temporary charge to the credit card, you got debt again. Debt at a high rate. But if you build that savings account, that nest egg, as I say, and you have an emergency or a challenge, what do? You reach into that challenge, into that savings, and you buy, you know, or you pay for what you need to pay for. But you have you know, liquid access to that. That is what's important. You build it up enough. A day may come where you say, you know what? This gold and silver or investment coins have grown so much, I'm just going to cash out and pay off my house now. I did that about a decade ago. Based on rare investment coins that were hotter than hot. You know, they just do. And we, you know, we specialize in that arena. But our economic, our political and economic system in this country really began a downward spiral on September 11th of 2001. There's no question about it. And where we're going now, the thing you got to realize is the central banks are really in control. The current path of our central banking fiat currency system, fake money, kind of like the fake news thing the Trump organization has put out there. It's fake news, folks. We are being deceived. Under Obama, I really began to believe we were in an era of deception, where we were deceived by him in the biggest way. We are being deceived on every stage of the front now, globally, every stage of it. And our central banking fiat currency system is fooling us as well. Fake news again. They're telling us it's okay, it's real money. And the thing with the fiat currency Federal Reserve System, you can suffer continuous inflation of spending power, buying power. That's all that matters. You don't let them compare it, or don't let it fool you when they compare the dollar to other world currencies, to a basket of world currencies. What matters is what you can or cannot buy with that dollar, or how much it costs for you to do, you know, to purchase things. That gives you the real inflation figures. And that's really where we're at right now. Our central banking fiat currency system is literally propelling the globe towards an imminent economic and financial disaster. And I would say that we're moving that way at an ever-increasing exponential pace. The question's going to become, what of Donald Trump? Will he buy into the central banking? Will he comprehend it? Will he have a problem with it? I was listening today to a show on a conservative station about cops in this area seizing large amounts of cash from people that have it in their car, and they don't have a good explanation of where it came from. I've read many articles where they have a great explanation, but it's the police's judgment, and he thinks you're transporting drug money. He confiscates it. Then they charge you hundreds of dollars to file, for the property. Then they require you to have a HIBOR attorney to file for the property. So they'll seize a $15,000 or $20,000 truck that's rightfully yours, but by the time you get done paying legal counsel and everything else, you cannot afford to fight to get it back. This is what we're beginning to do. Loretta Lynch was one of the number one acquirers as Attorney General of civil asset forfeitures and Obama's appointee. So our fiat currency system is literally pushing us towards a global economic collapse. And it's happening rapidly. Every one of us has a parable of talents. Every one of us has some assets and some wealth that we need to properly preserve for a future of uncertainty, financial uncertainty. You have to understand, when you buy these assets, gold and silver based assets, it's not a get rich quick scheme. You don't buy it to speculate and get loaded. You buy it to preserve and protect. Like we say, wealth and capital management, wealth and capital preservation. Our job is to help you to save your money preserve it at a rate of inflation. So that if you put $1,000 away today, and you pull it out 5 or 10 years from now, you have the spending power you did the day you put it in, minimum, if not more. That's what it's all about. It's not about timing the markets and getting rich quick. It's about you can time the long-term trends, but never the short run. In my opinion. But we're dealing, you know, so we've got to preserve and protect our assets for where we're heading, folks. We've got China, Russia, Iran on the stage. This is a unique time in global governing. There is something coming. We walk softly and carry a big stick under Obama, but he doesn't have the big stick because, you know, when Syria was gassing its own people, he said, if you do it again, you're stepping over a red line. The red line meant nothing. Nothing at all. I mean, we're dealing with, you know, the precious metals-based assets, folks. You have the benefit of dealing with something that goes back to the full written human history as far back as it goes. And you can't think of them as an investment. As I said, you're preserving your wealth in a biblical way. Will they grow? Sure. Could they grow fast and a lot? Sure. What should my motivation be when I buy them? To preserve and save my capital, to not have to go through that speculatory nightmare anymore. We're dealing with something, you know, that what we're dealing with has remained the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society throughout all of history. I mean, this is what precious metals-based assets are, and it's what they do. They are the firm, you know, their true wealth going clear back. As far back as we can go, all the way to God's endorsement biblically, where he sent them out to go get it, to start the system. Why would you not want your money parked in that? You overanalyzing, you know, the ups and downs and sideways. You can't look at the Dow Jones and get any indication of what's really going on in the stock market, especially with the investors. But precious metals-based assets, they're not an investment. There is no risk of real loss. The only risk is if you don't preserve them. In other words, secure them. You got to secure them because it's a true asset. It's a true valuable. As I said, we're talking about real money, true wealth. It's documented, folks, throughout history, tested and true from the earliest written human history. Our government and world banks have now suppressed, you know, the precious metals prices since the 1800s. And yet, despite that, they continue to grow. If we calculate an inflation adjustment from historical highs before they began to suppress the prices of gold and silver. So basically, if we look at what gold and silver have done or are worth or should be, based on before they began monkeying with the system and playing with the dollar, silver would be far above 500 an ounce, maybe 700 to 800. Gold could be $15,000 an ounce. The dollar has lost 99.67% of its spending power since its creation in 1913. That's a lot. That means that what's left is very little. This is the way the government sets it. You can't just relax and put away. You got to have your money out there working and churning and burning. And you can't just hide it and bury it in the ground, as it said in the parable of talents. I knew you were a shrewd man and you reaped where you didn't sow, so I buried it in the ground. Here, have what is yours. Not what God's looking for at all. You know, we've seen drops in the average home prices. We've seen drops in everything, or drops. We've seen increases in the cost of everyday living. Frankly, what people make for wages now versus what they made 20 years ago blows my mind. It has not properly, people's hourly wage has not properly increased with real inflation. So, since, you know, the abandonment of the gold standard in 1971 under Nixon, precious metals have had increased over 4,000% in about 40 years. You know, we all, people saw the spike in the 1980 from the Hunt brothers. I don't even think we need to explain that anymore. It was an anomaly. But you're dealing with something, hard assets that have never lost their value. They're universally recognized and accepted anytime, anywhere in the world. I mean, think of that. They're private, anonymous, transportable, and immediately liquid anywhere and anytime. I mean, it's they're basically transportable real estate is what they are. Our Fed just continues to pump out the dollars that it cannot sustain permanently, folks. You can't do that. That's why they came out with new economic theory, because people start to think, well, maybe they can do it. They've been doing it and it keeps going, but it can't. Folks, we've got decent leadership, but it's very good chance that God put this man here preparing for some very rough times ahead. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose by getting your wealth preserved and capitalized. Let us do that for you. If you're getting older and you're going to pass on some inheritance money, get it into coins and metals. You can put in any will that it just simply says any coins or metals shall be subject to separation as follows. You can just say Sally gets a third, Bobby gets a third, and Joe gets a third. That's it. You don't have to say how much you have, where it is, anything like that. When you're dealing with all the other stuff, you've got 1099s, you've got probate, you've got Series 6 and 7 licensing stuff. You know, these probate attorneys are the worst, folks. Attorneys in general can be absolutely brutal. The wrong attorney will suck you dry. Trust me, I've seen it. They will just bill and bill and bill and never, ever quite step back and stop doing it. We had an interesting 8 years under Obama. He left us in emotional shambles. The party of the left, the party of socialism, is taking us to a point of internal revolt. We've got half of our nation, youth, demanding socialism. What's the outcome of that? Will that end? No. The pendulum just keeps swinging further and further left, and the right becomes more radical. And no matter what punishment or what contradiction CNN and the left gets in their media, they don't stop. They try harder. They think we didn't try hard enough. And it's kind of like the saying that the definition of insanity is repeating the same behavior and expecting different results. This is what the left and the media are doing. They lost, but they don't understand. So they're accelerating the same behavior. But the problem is the victims are the American people. So anyway, you can give Coins Plus a call, 444-0044. Toll free 877-TAP-COIN. The radio show's through our website at coinsplus.com. Give us a call. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Appreciate you tuning in. Sorry for the tech difficulties. Have a great week. Bye-bye.